You that have your Bibles, we'll start a new study. And if you want to turn to Genesis 1, we are going to deal with dispensations. You that have an outline that we handed out, if you didn't get the outline, you can ask my wife. It isn't my outline, but years ago I came in contact with it and have looked at it. There are certain things that it was given out by the Moody Institution, and there are certain things that try to tin your thoughts, or the scriptures there, to Calvinism or predestination, and we will deal with that when we come. You'll notice that there after five law, they try to give you the thought that Jesus was judged for only believers. You that have read Brother Copley's tract on predestination, he deals with this. If you have never read that tract, I would advise you to read that tract. Kevin said that he was going to put it in the back. He was going to have it put in a smaller, that is, form as far as the leaf looking. You can ask Kevin Savage about it. Now, as we open this study, one thing to keep in mind. Men were never saved any other way but faith in the seed. From day one, from Adam to the last man that is ever born, during this time, these ages, if he rejects, he's born a sinner. The very nature that Adam and Eve threw us into, if he does not by faith put his trust in that seed, there is no way for him to be saved. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see any part of God's kingdom. As we study through these different parts, there will not be any person that will have any part of this or any part of God unless he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the seed. All this seed that we'll read about this morning that was promised, you can well believe that God was faithful to them. Of course, there are people that haven't heard about Jesus. I never was in a part of the world. I've traveled ever a lot of the part of the world. Now, I never did meet a person that hadn't heard of Jesus myself. But then, back a few hundred years ago or so, there might have been people that had not. But that was the responsibility of the parents and what happens when people and your responsibility that were saved. When we came to when our forefathers come over here, and then some that were here, they had certain stories, but as far as the seed, they didn't have the knowledge that we have. But as Simeon picked up the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, now my eyes have seen thy salvation. This is what they look forward to. And they looked as forward to the Messiah coming. And David, if you'll read especially the Psalms, you'll realize that he knew that this seed would come and die for humanity, for our sin. And so keep that in mind. There are those that try to put out the doctrine that there are those that were saved different ways. There are differences, says, in companies, the same as there was a difference in the 12. But each man and every man must put his faith in this seed, or he cannot be saved. Now you have your charts there. You that have the chart, you'll see that to begin with, they show you their original earth, perfect. And you'll see Isaiah 45:18. You'll see the original earth that was perfect. And then you have Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, where Satan was the anointed cherubim, and he fell. The earth in Genesis 1, 1 and 2, it says in the beginning, if you're there in Genesis, God created heaven and earth. This tells you that God was from eternity's past to eternity's past. God in eternity. The Isaiah 45 there will tell you that the earth came perfect and inhabited from the hand of God. What it was, and between these two verses, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. This with was, the word there is, it became void. That's what that word is, and void. It wasn't to begin with. Now, what and that time was, we don't know. How many millions of years it might have been, it don't say. But in the beginning, God, eternal, always, he was in any beginning. And the heavens and earth we know were created by him. Here you'll have you'll see that chart there that the earth was restored in Genesis 1 and 3. And as we read through here, you'll find that it says he formed, he moved, he made in the 6 days. In other words, he took the material that was already here and formed and made. This was the restore, when he restored the earth as it was. And you can read it there. It says, God the Father, Genesis 1:1 we just read, and those, and God the Holy Spirit. Then God the Son, John 1:1-3, with this, it destroys every bit of so-called Jehovah Witnesses doctrine on that Christ was created. The two, John 1-3, and this, these first three verses, Genesis 1:2-3, destroys completely every bit of their doctrine on that Christ was merely a creation of God. And you'll see that the three of them were here. Christ the Word, the Holy Spirit, and God. Now, how long that was, as our pastor has said, how old would you have thought Adam was if he'd have died 2 days after he was created? You'd have dug him up, maybe he was 6 foot tall. What, you said he was only 2 hours old? Now, God could have done it that way. You can't limit God. But undoubtedly, what we have found during this void and during this time were maybe millions of years. And if you get around people and you try to argue, you're arguing against actually what the Bible says here. There are those that say, no, no, it was the 6 days and that's it. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. If you read that, and the earth was without form, or the earth became void. Keep that in mind. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then, going to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, since we're studying this dispensation of innocence, and through 26, our verse, this is 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This council was held. In eternities past, there had been a council before Adam was created, we read. We read in there that if you're in the circle of innocence, the beginning, the responsibility and the failure, you'll see there that also eternal purposes was in Peter 1:18. He was the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the earth. Way before God moved on this, Christ was slain. So there was nothing that ever snuck up on God. And this likeness after our likeness is discussed in many ways. The likeness is mainly that he has dominion over this earth. That is the main likeness. When he eats of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, when it says man has become as one of us, the main thing there is not that we ever became as the eternal God. Never any of us can stand and say that it was robbery that we were equal with God. That is not the meaning. The meaning is that man finally became, he knew the difference between good and evil. And as far as him knowing good, before that time he knew good. Good was all around him. He knew God. He knew love. He knew good, but now he knew the difference. He knew he'd been introduced to Satan. He knew what evil was. Like the joke about the girl that told her mother, well, my boyfriend don't believe in the devil. Believes in God, but not the devil. She said, just marry him and we'll convince him there's a devil. So, you understand that this tree of knowledge, they knew the difference between. And God could have isolated the devil, or he didn't even have to plant what he would call that tree and forbid him if he wanted to keep that from him. But this was eternal plan. But anyway, here in this innocent time, he creates this man, but he gives him dominion. And he's in his image. You'll notice it's plural and single things that as he creates him. So, in verse 27, God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created him, male and female. He created them, and they are one. Adam in the Hebrew just means man. Man is Adam. He gives him his name, but he had named him way before. This was in the plan. So God created man in verse 28, and God blessed them. See, this is the first record. the first way back there. And then when we get further, it'll say, and God called their name Adam. One. Now this is in Corinthians, it says the first man, Adam. That doesn't just mean a man, not the woman. That means mankind. That means the studying. As you study mankind, the original. The first man. There isn't this thought that there was a slow evolution and finally God breathed into a creature. That verse means the first of any mankind. Adam was this first man. And he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now this word, fruitful and multiply, was before the fall. So he intended for them to have sex before. Some would teach all kinds of crazy things. If you've been out there and in some of these religions, it's amazing what they can teach. But they were to be fruitful and multiply before the fall. This word replenish the earth is the same thought as to restock or to replenish. It's it means to be or do something previously. It's the same word that he gave Noah when he came out of the ark. Replenish. Now it's replenished. It's exactly the same word in Isaiah 2:6, Isaiah 23:2, Jeremiah 31:25, Ezekiel 26:2, and 27:25. Exactly the same word. There you'll find out that the roots were replenished. It was something that was before. And he tells them to replenish the earth. And that was his thought. Subdue it. The subdue it means to get what's in it for good. So there's nothing wrong with invention, is it? It's that invention is in the hands of evil men. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now go into Genesis 2:7-9. And the Lord God formed. You see, he used something. This isn't the creation in the beginning. He formed him out of a material. The same as all 6 days, it is out of something that he had already created in eternities past. He formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man become a living soul. Here, he has an existence now forever. Man is a living soul. A dog is a soul. Dogs, they know the difference between them and themselves and another dog. A dog, he cannot and knows nothing about God. And though he's a soul, he is not a living soul. And what a difference. But man, here he is a soul, which is his emotions. And it is, as it is said, I am myself a soul. I have a body and I have a spirit. But let every soul be subject to the higher powers. That is what you are. And God so loved your soul that he gave his only begotten son. Now, man becomes this living soul. And the Lord God had planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now we come to these two trees that there's so much controversy over. The first thing, it is disobeying God. If I'd have got a seed off these two trees, a bunch of seeds, and taken them out and planted them, that was just the names of those trees. These two trees were a type of the Lord Jesus Christ is what they are. A type of. And the Lord Jesus Christ, everything pointed to him. They weren't interested, you noticed, and they weren't enamored with the tree of life. And so it is when he hung on that tree, not that God had planted, but that man had erected. Through the Bible, the cross is called the tree. And there, in that tree, we come to goodness and we come to evil. We come to the goodness that you can't imagine. That God let his Son hang on that tree and die for the likes of us. And the evil that we can't imagine is that we erected it and did it. The difference between that tree, the real tree, is that Satan, he got them to disobey God when God had absolutely told them not to partake of that tree. And now, Jesus has said, unless ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And Satan does everything he can to get humanity from taking of this tree. The tree, we know, she seen that it was good for food. This tree is good for food. Though there's no beauty in it that we should desire it. This tree is life everlasting if you'll partake of this tree. The devil has did everything he can. We know that the snake or the serpent that was wrapped on the pole or the tree. We read in Galatians, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And I trust that there isn't a soul here that hasn't taken of that tree. If you haven't taken of that tree, then there is no life in you. If you have, you have eternal life. But as far as the knowledge, all knowledge is in him. He and he alone has all knowledge of God. And as you feed at that tree, and we notice in Revelations, when you end the book, it says, those that have not accepted this Son shall not partake of that tree. But we have a straight disobedience here. And it is Eve at first that partakes of it. And as we went we were at verse 9, 2-9. looking at this that I gave you, and it said 2:9 to 18, now 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. And here he makes him notice that there was no fellowship that he could ever have with the animal. As far as the animal life, we have a body that is from the same place as an animal. But we are a living soul, and not only that, we have a spirit. Our spirit is Godward. Our body is what the animal is, it is likened to the animal from our earthly. In other words, my earthly body would never fit into a heavenly body. It's got to be a heavenly body. It's got to be changed, or I would really be in a mess, because I am made earthly. I'm made out of the earth. Soon we'll be changed to a heavenly body. You can understand that he isn't putting us back to that, what he's taken us to. And the marvelous that we have been taken to. But anyway, there was nothing, our helpmeet. There was all those animals. Why, he couldn't communicate with them except that we both ate, fed off the earth, but he had been breathed into. He was a living soul. He was a spiritual man. So there was found nothing, but then he takes a rib, he forms, which we won't get into, he forms Eve, he brings her, like it said, he marched her down the aisle, God did, and Adam wasn't disappointed in the least, and in fact, when he falls, he was not deceived. He's a picture, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ, figures him that he died for her, with her. And then he forms the woman, and he says, this is woman, they are both one. And then verse 25, they were both naked, the man and the wife, and they were not ashamed. This is the dispensation of innocence. They were innocent. But never think that the intelligence of Adam. He names all these creatures. It isn't that, as some would say, it was just nothing at all like that. As a matter of fact, as we read Romans, we'll see that man has went down ever since that time of sin. There was only the one thing. He hadn't been introduced to evil. That's all. He'd sure been introduced to good, had he not? How could have he lived in some utopia like that, that God had made for him and everything, his needs all satisfied? We talk about our environment, and people do certain things because of their environment. Well, your father, your grandfather, he did evil in an environment on this earth like there has never been. So it isn't the environment. It's our choice, and it is our hearts. And then we, as he, let's see, 25 or chapter 3, now he is introduced to evil. And 3:1, it says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, this serpent was merely a tool, probably the most beautiful earthly, and it says, of the earth, cursed of the earth, that God had created under the man. Science tell you that they had legs. Nevertheless, he became the tool. And it is said that how did God tell Adam, in the day ye shall surely die, when life was all around him? How could he understand death? Well, he had ate off those trees up to this time. It said, and thou shalt prune or tend. When he cut off a branch, he had watched it die in separation from life. He knew very well that death meant separation from what was the essence of life, what was God. So, as some have said, how could have he known what death was? He knew what death was. He knew that it was separation from life. And now the serpent, and then this serpent begins to question the Word of God. And that's where all of us will get in trouble. In the first place, if we question the sovereignty of God. You let a little bit of question over anything that God has said arise in your heart, and you're headed for a fall. You might not understand it, but you had better believe it. Because you're the one that's going to be red-faced when it's over. And the serpent or the devil said, has God said? Truly. There's so many things that he just changes. And he just changed a little thing here. You think of how in Revelations, there are those that try to change the word not. In Revelations, I will not blot out your name. They try to change it till I will blot out your name. When it says not, you think in Romans 8:1, they try to change, be fulfilled, the righteousness of the law shall be fulfilled by us instead of in us. And as you go through just little tiny things like that, that can completely change the Word of God and your attitude toward the Word of God. He's a master at it. The serpent being more subtle than any of them, he comes to the woman, not the man, and what he offers her is he says, yeah, in the day God knows that you will become as gods. That's what he offered her. And he knows that your eyes will be open. And their eyes were open to sin. Their eyes were open to the knowledge of sin. But their eyes were completely closed spiritually. Spiritually, they died. The difference between they are put out of the garden, when he returns, tells them that you will return to the ground from whence you came. That's physical. But here it was spiritual that they died. And then in Genesis 2:15, he said that the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to dress it. There's where that word dress it, and to keep it. That is to guard it, that word. He didn't guard it, did he? I always wonder, what in the world would he have to guard? Well, as you read on, there was a lot he had to guard. But he utterly failed. And the Lord God commanded that the man, saying, of every tree thou mayest eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. In the day thou eat, thou shalt surely die spiritually. As we said, 3:19 is physical. And he well understood what God had said. And there He was cut off from the fellowship. God, that could not look upon sin in the least degree of allowance. And here, God, she takes, notice it's body, soul, and spirit that she falls, and we are taken back exactly the opposite. It says that Christ is what lights us the minute we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our spirit is lit back in fellowship with God forever. And then she falls body, soul, body, soul, and spirit. We are taken back the opposite. We are saved. We are being saved. And then it speaks of our bodies. Finally, the complete redemption, which we trust could be any time, don't we? And then their eyes were open, but they were closed. Closed spiritually until they accepted or they trusted in the seed. And then they heard God. They sowed themselves fig leaves. It must have been real quick that God came, because those fig leaves, can you imagine how they would have dried up quick and got so brittle? And then their religious, which speaks of religious effort, a hiding place from God, but the only hiding place is in that tree that men erected. Calvary. That is the only place you can hide from God. And then God takes and makes skins. Instead of them dying physically, they seen the shedding of blood. And they were covered. And notice that God never puts them on probation again. He completely takes the responsibility of their salvation. And you'd have thought, well, the fellowship had been restored, they were covered. But no, he puts them out, because in putting them out of the garden is where we can grow through our trials and through our tribulations. And it is out of the garden that we can go to where the final garden will be, to where we can be brought in to all the fullness of God. We could have never grew in that garden. So ended innocence. Man is now no longer innocent. His conscience is awakened between what is good and what is evil. And now, mortally, he is a responsible person. He has a nature that is against God. And unless he is completely led of the Spirit, he cannot tell the difference completely between good and evil, because Satan can deceive him. There are how many thousands that are gathered together in a place this morning where they believe that they are doing good, not evil.